Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. I'm Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is disembodied finger telling me where to go, Dan Ryan.
And it's always to the right.
Welcome to Mania! This year we'll be pitting brawlers against brawlers in the ultimate bracket-style throwdown of the century. Keep mashing that attack button because the Stone Age Gamer Podcast starts now. Hello, everybody.
That was a good one.
Thank you. This is episode 410. It's the week of May 13th, 2022. And Dan, I just learned that tomorrow, Unpacking is coming to PlayStation platforms.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. I haven't bought the game on Switch yet, but I keep meaning to because, that game looks right up my alley. Like directly up my alley.
I feel like I should have it at some point.
Yeah.
Trek to Yomi also came out, and I have not purchased it yet. So,
I've heard good things about that one as well.
Yeah.
How much is Unpacking on Switch right now?
I feel like if it's more than $20, it's too much.
That's I think it's probably around $20. Yeah, it's $20.
Okay.
Is this that on my wish list? Is that why I'm not? I feel like, you know, it's on my wish list. I should be being notified if this ever goes on sale.
You should fucking tell me, Switch.
I really want this game.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
You know what else? What other game I want? I want my freaking copy of Chrono Cross.
You still don't have that? That's weird.
I still don't have that. It's, let's see. I ordered it. It was supposed to come out on April 26th. That's when the physical copy released. And I definitely saw posts of people online got their physical copies. From PlayAsia.
Yeah.
So that happened. Now, it is currently May 9th. And, you know what? Let me go ahead and find my exact tracking on my computer. Maybe I've just been looking at it weird on my phone. I mean, who knows, right?
No, doubtful.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably all right. So on 4/27, it said my order shipped. Now let's do some tracking. Let's go ahead and track this sucker. Track here.
Tracking.
Yep. It has not moved since April 29th. Huh. On April 29th, USPS.com says departed shipping partner facility awaiting item. That was April 29th at 8:15 a.m. That's the last update that this thing had.
What a bunch of pricks.
What's going on?
I don't know.
What's going on, USPS and PlayAsia? Where's my dang Chrono Cross?
That's right. He said dang, so you know he's serious.
I did. I swear, if my Turrican anthologies show up before my Chrono Cross, I don't know how I will I'll deal with that. Apparently, they're shipping some of the Turrican anthologies. Only the PS4 version is coming out first because the Switch one is in manufacturing. But their estimate right now is that they'll be shipping those suckers out in June.
Hmm.
I ordered mine on January 21st, 2021.
Yeah.
So it's been a wait on that one.
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that, I have They Might Be Giants is reissuing a reissued Lincoln on vinyl.
Oh, that's very exciting.
So I got one of those on the way. That should be here by the end of the week, I think.
I was a little underwhelmed by their latest record.
As was
it was
I.
Still good.
I will always love them, but I would say good is about as far as I would go with most of their recent records. I haven't loved a They Might Be Giants record, and I mean loved, since maybe John Henry. Mm. I love the first like three. So the self-titled, Lincoln, and Flood.
Yeah.
Or like, those are, I will listen to those albums top to bottom and just be, you know, elated. And then I think after that was Apollo 18 and then John Henry. And I really like Apollo 18 and John Henry, but not enough to be like, yeah, I'm going to track those suckers down on vinyl too. This was
have
like,
to have
all right,
them.
I just had, because of years ago, I was at a record store on record store day, and a year, I'm talking at least 10 years ago, so I didn't even own a record player, but I picked up their first album, like a, just a regular printing of their first album, not a reissue or anything,
yeah,
for like $6 on vinyl. It's like, I just want to have this because I love this band, I love this album, and it's a cool thing to have. And now I have a record player, so I listen to it. And then I bought Flood, was probably the first of the new records I got to try and, I'm trying to like buy all my favorite record albums on vinyl, just as a thing to have, because I'm a lunatic with collecting and I like listening to things on vinyl. It's really fun.
Sure.
So I had those two, and then they sent me an email as one of their mailing lists, like, oh, we're reissuing Lincoln on vinyl. And I'm like, well, that's the ones, that's the middle one. And, it's on the super cool, like clear red album. Yeah, I'm buying it. Can sign me up.
Have to have it.
So that just leaves, in July, the Horizon Chase Turbo, soundtrack is releasing on vinyl. So you better believe I pre-ordered that one, because that, you know, I'm crazy about that game. And then I got those Mega Man ones, the Mega Man 2 and 3, and then the Mega Man X, vinyls. And those are coming in August, theoretically.
Well, all right then.
Yeah. That's the stuff I have on order. How you doing?
I'm all right. You know, I'm okay. The weekend was hectic and sad, and I mentioned it in the Discord, but one of the pets passed away on Friday, the cat. He was an old man. And it wasn't super unexpected or anything. We had had the talk with the kids of like, I don't know, this isn't looking good. He used to be a fat cat, and he is not a fat cat anymore. Because his body was just like shutting down and shit. He was like 17. You know, he was old.
That's pretty old.
Yeah, like that's a good run. You know what I mean? Like, and he was not healthy. Like, I'm telling you, when we adopted this dude, he was fucking fat. Like, his stomach hung and swayed on the floor as he fucking walked around. Like, he was a fat piece of shit. And it's one of the things that I loved about him. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, you big fat bastard, come here. You know, and these last couple of weeks, he looked like a trim, fit kitten. You know, which is not, it's not how your body is supposed to look. When it looked the other way previously. So that can't be good. And, yeah, it was very sad. He died while I was at work and the kids were at school and I came home and everybody's super sad. And, you know, the whole weekend was just kind of sad and hanging out and like being like, oh, you know, and fucking Facebook memories popping up. But it just, of course, there was a picture that popped up from like 4 years ago of Henry. It was like, oh, you pricks, you knew. You knew you were saving this one. You asshole. How dare you? It's like, great. Now I'm crying at my breakfast. This is awesome.
Fuck, man. My eggs needed salt. Joke's on right. You.
Yeah, Facebook. I'll show you. So that really sucked.
My friend, I had a friend in high school. The first time I ever went to his house, I saw the fattest cat I had ever seen in my life. I don't remember this thing's name, but like it turned a corner and like actually frightened me because they hadn't been keeping this cat groomed and it was too fat to groom itself.
Ah.
So like it turned a corner and did that whole like back stretch thing, you know,
yeah,
that cats do. And it had these like hunks of, you know, the matted fur. They looked gross. Like shingles, and it like did the thing. It was like, what is that? Like, oh, that's my cat. And it was like,
are you sure? Because it's not supposed to look like that.
It looks like a porcupine from hell. It's like a white Sonic the Hedgehog that's really let itself go.
That's seen some shit. Yeah.
And like it was I watched it like walk up the stairs and like its stomach just glided across each stair because it's just, wow. It was that was a remarkable experience, that cat. it was really something. But yes, I am sorry for your loss in the cat department.
That sucks, man.
It sucks, but at the same time, it's like a cat lived a life.
He certainly did. He certainly did. He used to, the old house that we had before we bought this one, my bedroom, you know, like I had talked about it on the show back when we lived there, was up in the loft. And I had to climb a ladder to get up there. And watching this big fat ass climb this ladder to get up into my bedroom was hilarious. Because he would fucking hoist himself up one step at a time. It was so goddamn funny. And when he would jump down, he would like, he would crawl down on like the first rung of the ladder and then kind of like wedge himself to the second one, and by the time he got to the second one, his ass was just like, ah, fuck it, and threw itself down, and the rest of them followed. It was awesome. It happened every day. It was so funny. Oh. So that was like, that took up a good chunk of the weekend. I spent some time trying to go through some of these beat 'em ups in preparation here for Mania.
I did some of that today.
Compiling the list was rather difficult this time.
I imagine so. When I looked at the list that you had sent, and like a bunch of like pretty big ones jumped out at me, is like, okay, something's up here. This is there were several games on there I had never even heard of before.
Yeah, yeah.
That I had to dive into and figure out, and like, it was kind of tough too, because I'm looking at the list like, oh, well, Kung Fu's not on here. And like, that's like the beat 'em up, especially as far as like home consoles are concerned, Kung Fu Master / Kung Fu. Like,
yeah.
But then it's like, all right, that game is super simple. So yeah, I guess maybe it's not on here. So
yeah, like it was. So normally the way I do it when I set these up, right, I go to Metacritic. Just because, not that I think Metacritic is this great, wonderful website or anything. It's just a way to be a fair arbiter, right? So that I don't decide the seeding of where these things go. I just organize it by, you know, by Metacritic score and go through the list. And it's like, all right, you know, fighting games. I click on the fighting game category and boom, I just put them in that order. And that's the way the seeding comes out. Because otherwise, the seeding for this would have been like, well, I'm going to put my favorite Ninja Baseball Batman would have been a number one seed. And that's absurd. That's absurd. So in order to take out any sort of bias on this list, you know, I go and set it up that way. Metacritic does not have a way to sort or search by tag on their website. So even though there are plenty of games that are tagged as beat 'em ups, plus they don't go back to the Super Nintendo. They, like, PlayStation is as far back as they go. So, but I was like, okay, like, that's fine. That's whatever. I can work with that. Let me just go through. Let me find where some of these games are, you know, look up a more modern beat 'em up or whatever, and try to see where it is. And I'm like, okay, it's under action games. Okay, fine. No problem. So I started scrolling through action games, and when I tell you that I went through about 5,000 games, there's 100 games per page, and I was just clicking. I didn't get through all of them, but I got to about 5,000 games and was not even halfway done populating a list of 64. I was like, I can't do this anymore. So I found a list on Ranker, and I was like, all right, I'll go from there. That'll be, you know, the way that we'll seed these things. And that's why some of the games that you had mentioned, like, weren't on there. They weren't on either of those lists. So, but we made some changes, and I think we'll be relatively happy with it. But that took a decent chunk of time.
we
do.
We know best. And
of course,
really,
we
when you look at a list like that and you see certain games not on that list, it's like, How do you have a ranking like that? How do you rank or do a tournament on the best beat 'em ups and not have, you know, X game? Like, it's just too important of a thing to not be a part of it, you know?
And that's why I shared the list with you, because I needed another set of eyes.
That's how it goes. That's
how we do things. But yeah, like, I spent a decent chunk of time playing some beat 'em ups to get familiar. It's like, all right, Because, like, I think Ninja Baseball Batman is great, but is it really great?
Yes.
And yes, yes, it is.
Yes.
It is, as a matter of fact, fucking great.
I will. I can back that up scientifically even further. From the next issue of Nintendo Force is centered around beat 'em ups, and because the Ninja Turtles game, and we have a cover story thing for River City Girls 2, right?
Yeah.
So we've got a whole thing coming there, and in the planning phase, the first thing that somebody said was like, "All right, so we're going to talk about beat 'em ups. Maybe we're going to try to do a beat 'em up." Like, here's a history of some of the most important beat-em-ups, the best beat-em-ups that aren't on Switch that should come to Switch or something. I just need an excuse to talk about Ninja Baseball Batman. And then, like, half the staff, myself included, chimed like, yes, that game rules. We need to find a way. I'm totally into whatever excuse we have to mention that game in our magazine.
So, it has to be brought up.
It's awesome. Game freaking rules.
Game fucking rules. It would do great with a sequel now. It's perfect time to come out. Come on, man. Come on, Irem, or however the hell you say it. I don't care. Doesn't matter. That's where we're at.
All right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Didn't see Doctor Strange yet. Watched the ending of Moon Knight. Watched all the way through Our Flag Means Death.
Yeah.
Such a good show.
Great shows.
So good.
Really good shows.
Similar. You know, so many themes really carry over between the two shows. I was shocked. I had to ask that. I was like, which one are we watching again? Is this the pirate one or the Egyptian one? I can't tell.
Near identical.
Near identical. Taika Waititi does good work in both of them. Anyway.
I also watched both of those things over this past weekend, and loved both of them. I thought Moon Knight finished real strong. It's kind of a bummer that it seems to have been designed to be one season, because I'd watch another season of it, but I also hope that we get lots more Moon Knight in the MCU, because he's awesome.
Yeah, he was great. So good.
And Scarlet Scarab, that was pretty cool.
That was really cool.
Reinvent that character was really nice. I just love the whole damn thing. And Our Flag Means Death was just brilliant.
just shockingly touching and genuine, wonderful.
Hilarious.
So yeah,
very funny.
Very, very, that's a fuckery. Just, oh my God. So good.
Yeah, that was some killer TV. And I saw Multiverse of Madness with Karen and on Friday, and it was I won't go to any details except to say that my biggest fear about it was that it was going to be, all right, we're pulling in every non-MCU Marvel thing and making them canon, and that's going to be like the thing that this movie is. It's just all these things that we're pulling in, and it was its own thing.
That's good.
It did not rely on cameos from other movies.
That's good.
It was very much its own thing. I mean, it's very much a Sam Raimi movie.
That makes me really happy.
Yeah.
It made me very happy. I really like Sam Raimi. Really like that guy.
I'm a fan as well. I won't say what cameos were in there. I will say that there's been some weird discourse online about the way that Scarlet Witch acts in this movie, saying that it was a betrayal of her character in WandaVision. And clearly, I did not watch that show the same way as a lot of other people did.
All right.
Because this seemed like where that was going at the end. And
is it possible that the people who are complaining just didn't see the deleted scene? The post credit scene. Because that seems to set her character up in a whole different. Don't tell me anything. I don't want to.
Yeah,
move on.
I'm saying the comment sections that I should stay out of, because I'm trying to avoid that kind of stuff. But I needed more information. Mm-hmm. Like somebody says, well, this is a complete betrayal of the character in WandaVision. I'm looking at like,
but what? Is it?
it did I miss something? So I'm reading through, and there were a lot of people saying, like, did you not see the post-credit scene? Like, yeah, I saw the post-credit scene, and it meant XYZ. And I'm looking at it like, did it?
But you heard her children yell. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
You know, it's cool. All right. We'll have this discussion after you see the movie, but I very much loved it. It's not like, you know, jaw on the floor. This is the single greatest MCU movie. Ah! Of course, well, there's
it's going to be really hard for an MCU movie to do that now, I think. Because the expectation is that it's going to be very, very good to great. Like, there is no expectation that, like, it was all right. You know, like, Eternals.
Yeah, Eternals was all right.
Was okay, but it was so, like, if Eternals, and here's the weird thing. If Eternals was a Warner Brothers DC movie, we'd be bashing the shit out of it. But because Marvel has such a stockpile of goodwill built up, it can just be like, that was all right. You know,
I don't know I'd be bashing the shit out of it, to be perfectly honest with you.
I don't know.
I rather liked it. I thought it was interesting.
But it is certainly, I think, in the pantheon of Marvel cinematic adventures, I think it's probably at the bottom. I haven't really analyzed it. I'm not sure if it's Iron Man 2 or Eternals as the worst.
I think I would put Eternals at the bottom, yeah. I like Iron Man 2 more than most, but like Iron Man 2, Sam Rockwell, man.
I know, and there's a lot of funny shit. There's like, a lot can you of put really your head in that? He can't put his head in that, Ivan. Like, right? there's some really good stuff in there.
It's got some not so great stuff, but it's also got some really good stuff. And like, there was some really good stuff in Eternals as well, but it just didn't
work. Yeah, it was mostly that post-credits scene. I was like all back in. I was like, yes, this is what I was waiting for. Blade and fucking Black Knight and shit. I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I liked it. But yeah, this, I really did think Multiverse of Madness was great. It just wasn't like 10 out of 10. It was like,
yeah,
I don't know, eight and a half out of 10. It was great. Wonderful movie to see in the theaters. That's not bad at all. I know a lot of people are MCU fatigued, and that's turning into a whole thing of like, Marvel movies are the worst, they're all terrible, they're all exactly the same. Okay.
Yep, so that is every episode of Friends. So, like, whatever. I said what I said. It's fucking...
Have you read comics?
No.
Because that's what they're doing.
They're making the comic books, dude. The other thing I forgot to mention, just before you go on with what else you had, was that also part of the weekend, I decided to update my game eye. And spend some time going through. And I find it absurd that the most expensive single item I have... Now, again, keep in mind, I don't give a shit about this. Like, I don't keep things. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a thing I
it's
do.
It's just a this, fun thing to see. Like, oh, I have a thing that's worth money. That's neat.
Yeah, this is just what I have. Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater 3D for the 3DS complete in box is $141 goddamn dollars.
Jeez-zoo.
That's weird to
that
me.
That is weird.
Because when I got my 3DS, Tiff bought me that game because it was like $10 or something like that. Like, they were just getting rid of it because, like, what? And she was like, I know you like Metal Gear, so I got it for you. I was like, shit. Like, there's going through like the collection that I have, there were some things that I was relatively surprised by, like Clock Tower.
Oh yeah, that's a
for
beefy
PlayStation 1 loose. It's $104.
Yeah.
Really? That's weird. I wish I would have kept the Game Boy Advance boxes for the Castlevania games.
Oh yeah. Those shot in value.
That would be like, but just a loose cart for Aria of Sorrows, $95. That seemed rather pricey. I was really surprised. Like, I know we talked about it before, but like Zero Mission, $80. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nuts. And
you
want to
hear something completely nuts?
Yeah,
I'm not even. I'm Aria of Sorrow is the most expensive of those GBA Castlevania games.
Yeah,
complete in box for $234.
Yeah.
It's not even in my top 20.
Wow.
Of expensive shit I have.
That's crazy.
It is completely fucking crazy. Like,
yeah, you have some absurd shit. I have, like, average I forgot to throw away boxes kind of shit is what I have.
The most wild, expensive man. Thing I have actually keeps changing a lot. But right now, sorry, right now the most expensive thing I have is my complete copy of Hagane for Super Nintendo, which is currently listed at $3,241.
That is absurd.
The next one, which this one...
Because you did not pay anywhere close.
No.
You really should, like, send that dude, like, $500. Just be like, look, dude, I ripped you off hard, and I'm sorry.
I didn't rip anybody off. I paid him $100 more than he was asking.
Yeah, well, still.
Super Mario Brothers sealed for NES is currently listed at $3,116, but there's no way my copy would ever sell for that, nor would I ever sell it. I bought it as a gag because I had literally, what, 50 some odd copies of Mario Duck Hunt at least? Yeah. So, like, I was in Toys R Us and they were clearancing out new copies of Super Mario 1 for $5. Like, yeah, okay. I'll hang on to a sealed copy of Super Mario Brothers because that's a neat thing to have. Like,
yeah. $3,000. Psychonauts on the Xbox. I bought for $5. We were trying to throw them away at Game Crazy. And it's like over $50 now.
That's crazy.
Like, that's, it was $5.
Friggin' Jack Brothers for Virtual Boy. I bought it Electronics Boutique for, was it $14, I think, when they were clearancing them out? $1,739 now.
That's crazy.
Magic Knight Ray Earth for Saturn. Like, I bought that again at Funko Land when they were trying to get rid of things. Like, I don't even know what this game is, but it's got one of those cool working designs covers. It's going for $956 now.
That's crazy.
Bloody hell.
That is crazy.
Like, House of the Dead? Really? Like, I always knew House of the Dead for Saturn was a spicy one. But, like, back in the day. But $675?
I know. It makes me fucking crazy just thinking about all the shit that we threw out, the video game stores that we worked in.
Yeah.
We just threw shit out.
I tried to save as much as I could.
Yeah.
It's funny looking at this list. Like, a couple of games we're going to talk about are on this list of super expensive stuff I have.
Yeah.
Ninja Warriors for Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's $600.
That's absurd. It's not worth that much.
No, it's not.
It's not going to do $600 worth of representation in this tournament. I can tell you that much for free.
Though I will say I really like that game.
I do really like it too, but $600, check your priorities.
I don't think there's any video game I like $600
for. Ninja Baseball Batman. But are you telling me you would not buy, if you saw an arcade cabinet of Ninja Baseball Batman in good condition, you would not consider $600
for that? For $600, I would absolutely buy it and then drive it to your house.
Please do. Please do.
Because I don't have anywhere to put it, but you need to own it. So
I really do. At some point, I really, really do. I really do. It's never going to happen, but I really do.
Yeah, I'll put it right next to my imaginary Twilight Zone pinball. Someday.
There you go. Yep, if I ever find that one, I'm bringing it to you.
All right, I'll just blow through this super quick because I want to get to work on this Mania list.
Yeah, we got stuff to do.
I finished Mega Man 11. I stand behind everything I said about that game. We were ranking our Mega Man games. I think that game is wonderful. It's a great Mega Man game. It really does. It held up all the way through start to finish. And because John just wants to keep going, he decided he wants to go through the series backwards. So we started Mega Man 10. And I stand behind everything I said about Mega Man 10. I was reconsidering it at first. I played Sheep Man stage and then one other stage. I was like, maybe we were a little hard on this game. And now I'm up to the Wily Castle. And no. Most of the stages were just not fun to play.
No, I just weren't.
The weapons kind of suck.
I'm surprised you didn't go to Mega Man Legends. It's very different, but it's good.
No, he wants to play the numbered Mega Man games backwards.
All right. That's a weird request. I support it.
Yeah, I was just playing 11 for funsies, and like, I think it kind of knocked Ori off my list, and I might be done with Ori.
Mm.
I keep wanting to want to go back to it, but I'm like, I don't really feel like it.
Yeah, I get that.
It was starting to feel like work, and that's what I want. And I don't understand why it's feeling that way, because I remember really liking the first one, and I was very much enjoying this game, but I got to this point where I was somewhat frustrated, and the world opened up so very large, and I said to myself, wow, this is daunting, and it seems like it's going to take me a very long time to get through. And that's where I kind of started to lose interest in going forward with it. But
yeah, I get that.
Maybe I'll go back, maybe I won't. But yeah, Mega Man 10, I completely agree with everything we said about it. I don't think that game is very good. We're on the Wily stages and just cheap death after cheap death. Like,
yeah,
I get Mega Man's hard. I get it. I've been doing these games for most of my life, but
still,
I'll do the hard in Mega Man 9 because it's really well designed. This is like, just, oh, it's another one of those pits where a thing comes out of the ground and things come out. Oh, it's another insta-death. Got it. Okay.
Great.
Tons of fun. Insta-death. And it's just boo. Thumbs down.
Yeah.
It's still Mega Man, so it's still fun, but it's ultimately...
Sure. Eh.
I was talking... This was fun. I talked about this before the show. My mom came over to my house for Mother's Day, and my daughter... asked to play Switch Sports Bowling because we've been playing a lot of Switch Sports. Online play is really fun. The biggest gripe I have is like I unlocked a pink hat, and I was like, oh, perfect, Ellie's gonna love this pink hat. And then we tried to put it on her character, and you can't, because the stuff you unlock is not for your system, it's just for your specific character. So you can't share gear with everybody else. And so in order to unlock stuff, everybody has to play online to earn their own things to customize their character with, which doesn't. Okay. That's a choice.
All right.
And it wouldn't even be so bad, except you don't actually get to choose what you unlock. You go
that's shitty.
There's a page of like, oh, here's all these things you can unlock. So I want to choose from this page. And then it'll go beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, and pick a random thing from that page. All Ellie wanted was the pink bow for her hair, and we had to unlock...
That's it, just a pink bow.
We unlocked 6 other items before we got the pink bow. So that means you had to keep playing the games enough to earn enough points to get another shot at a random roulette thing to get that one item that she wanted for her character. And it was kind of obnoxious. Granted, we had a ball playing all the games, but at the same time, every time it landed on something she had no interest in at all, she'd got really sad. Yeah. So that was a bummer. That cheesed me off pretty bad. But the online is super fun. I've been doing great at bowling and tennis, and the only one I haven't personally played online is soccer yet, which I'm told is the most fun.
That's the leg strap and all that?
No. The leg strap is just like a kicking contest. Home run derby. Like, that's... The leg strap is pretty boring, actually. Doesn't look like fun at all. I haven't tried it. I read what it is. It's like... No. I don't want to do that.
No. Just not interested.
That just doesn't sound fun. No. The regular soccer is Rocket League on foot. So it's like...
Oh, that's right. We talked about that.
Soccer,
sorry.
Yeah. But the only way to play with proper teams is to play in an online match, just like Rocket League. And it seems like a blast. I just haven't done it yet. Because I keep doing bowling because it's really fun. Like, it's just, I turn it on. I'm like, maybe I should try soccer. That sounds like effort. I can sit down and do bowling. So I've done a couple of matches of badminton, a bunch of tennis, and like tennis and bowling seem to be the ones where most people are. And volleyball's all right too. I did one match of volleyball online, but that's been super. Switch Sports has been great. I still am kind of cheesed at its lack of ambition. I hope they continue to add more sports in the future past golf, because I want to see this thrive and be more expansive.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, if they're not going to add more sports, add more things to do. Because it is a bit bare bones. And if this is going to be free updates continually, like Animal Crossing or whatever, okay.
Then fine.
Fine. But like, let me know a bit more about what you're doing. Don't turn this into a Clubhouse game where like, well, this is a great start. I can't wait for the free updates later, and then they just don't come. Yeah. So fingers crossed that works out. They updated Minecraft for Switch
and broke it more.
Sort of.
Yeah, like, that feels right.
The first thing they specifically called out this update, like, we fixed the freezing and chunk loading issue. Okay, fantastic. So John well boots done. Up the Switch version, and he loads up his save file for the Mario Minecraft stuff that he was doing,
mm-hmm.
and he can't even start. It starts playing the music, and then as soon as it loads, you can't move, and the music just goes, like, just gets stuck. It's like, oh, good, they broke it more. Except they fixed regular. Like, he loaded up his other save file, fine, and it hasn't crashed once since. The only thing he hasn't been able to do is load up the Mario Minecraft from his save file. Now, I don't know if it'll fix anything if he starts over, if it just happens to be, like, something he did with his save file is just toast with regular for this update or whatever, and he could start a new Mario Minecraft thing, but we haven't messed with it because John's just been playing regular Minecraft and obsessing over Minecraft and talking about Minecraft at every possible opportunity for him to open his mouth and spout some random fact about the Ender Dragon or some YouTube video that he watched of some guy saying, great ways to prank your friends, or I'm going to build this house and fill it up with mobs and this, and I'm going to do this that's going to represent this, and he will not stop talking about Minecraft.
Yeah.
It's a thing, which I'm pretty sure I'm not alone on. I feel like I've heard this from other folks in the world, and I've been like, well, yeah, he's never really gotten into Minecraft. Well, he's gotten into Minecraft now. It is his life. So at least it's patched and he can get back to playing it on the Switch, because he was getting real pissed off playing it on the Xbox because the buttons are different.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, and when you're a kid, that really matters.
It matters to
me,
too. It kind of
matters when you're an adult.
It pisses me off all the time. I grew up on Super Nintendo, was the first one with that four face button thing. Yeah. So that's where X, Y, A, and B go. And then they just shift them for Xbox. That's not where the A goes. Stop it.
Stop it. I know, and then PlayStation's completely different.
Yeah, at least it's completely different. At least it's like, okay, these are all these shapes. That's fine. That's fine. And really, the way that Switch has been doing with a lot of their games, not all of them, but a lot of them, they'll do like, they'll put the four face buttons and just press the one that's here. They don't say press A. They say press the one that's here, you know?
Yeah.
Every game do that.
Every all game.
Because for all systems, that way it doesn't matter. Like, there you go.
Yeah, because I play my Switch with my DualSense controller now, so.
You're
telling me to press buttons that I don't have. Press Y. I mean, I can't, though. I can't. I can press square.
That's not a Y, but it's...
It's not a Y, but it is where it is.
It's what you're asking me to do, but it's not. I started today. I am attempting to get back on my bullshit with Ring Fit and Wii Fit. And I threw a little Brain Age in there, too, just to be like, all right.
I'm working out my whole body.
I'm doing all of it. That's what I'm doing. It worked out really well for my scheduling and, you know, making me have energy today. But I was also very hungry by the end of the day. But the most important thing, I'm trying new underwear.
Oh, Jesus. What do you got?
So, I got found...
Boxer briefs are where it's at.
I have not found boxer briefs that work for me at all.
Oh, that's a shame.
At all. They either just ride up on the legs, or they sag down at the waist. And like, well, now I'm not getting any support, and I just have this tight thing around my thighs. I'm like, that's the reason I'm switching away. That's the reason I'm switching away from boxers. It's because I'm finding in my old age, I could use some support, you know?
Try not to say my balls are swinging in the wind, but that's what's happening.
That's what's happening. And I would like an option for keeping things together, you know?
So, banana hammock it is.
Well, I went with just standard undies. And I'm not in love. I'm not happy.
Like tidy whities?
Kinda, yeah.
Oh no, you can't do that.
It's not working.
You're not a child.
It worked out better than the boxer briefs. It's like, oh, these don't ride up. That's cool. But they ride down because I'm shaped weird. I have no ass, Dan. You know this about me. I know. I got no ass. There's nothing to keep the underwear up.
No.
So
you gotta stuff some hams back there.
Get some pork roll.
Right? Or just get like those fake titty things and like just put those back there. You're married, you got kids, who the fuck are you trying to impress? Get out of here.
Well, it's all nonsense. About comfort, and that's what I'm trying to find.
They might be squishy to sit on. That might be nice.
Maybe. Since I don't have an ass.
You might enjoy that.
I sit for a long time. I don't know. We'll see. I'm trying to find something cheap and something that works. And so if you have anybody out there has any really good recommendations for good underwear, send them my way.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. The Hanes boxer briefs. Where it's at.
That's the ones that I tried, the Hanes boxer briefs. I went to Target, which I don't know if you've... Is every male underwear aisle in the country the same thing? Because every place I've ever went to, every time I go into a Target or whatever, when I'm looking for underwear, it's just a fucking free-for-all.
Yeah.
It's like they just take whatever has a peg hook and they put it on any peg hook. Nothing's got prices. Nothing is like grouped together or anything. It's just like, here's this gigantic package of 350 pairs of underwear. How much is it? Who the fuck knows? Because it's on a peg hook that says Egyptian cotton boxers for $19.99 a pair or something like that. Like,
it's just no one cares anymore, Chris. And I understand why they don't. Because everything is awful everywhere all the time.
That is true.
But like, I was in ShopRite the other day, picking up stuff for Mother's Day dinner. And as I was walking through, I had the cart, you know, because I had to get some things. I had to put them in the cart, whatever. And as I was walking, somebody who worked at ShopRite was pushing like a pallet of stuff. And I was walking along the back by the meats, right? The cold section. Mm-hmm. And then there's all the aisles, right? Every shop, every grocery store is pretty much set up the same. So I'm walking long ways along the back. And somebody comes pushing a pallet of like sodas or whatever out of an aisle and like almost ran into me and then stopped and looked at me and waited for me to back up so he could keep going. And I thought to myself, I must be getting old, because that shit really pissed me off. It was like, but like, you're supposed to back up and I'm supposed, like, it's a customer, man. Fuck. Don't turn me into the yelling at clouds guy. Don't make me do that. But like, I feel that kind of shit happens all the time. Like, I go to stores and like, what? Why don't you have anything on your shelves? And if you do, why is it just wherever? Like, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's weird.
It is weird.
Maybe I'm old.
You're saying, but
maybe I'm old, Chris.
Men underwear aisles, I feel like, have been this way for my entire adult life.
I disagree with that.
But ever in my life went to go find. Now, granted, I've only actually gone to buy underwear maybe 4 or 5 times in my life.
That's wild. That's a weird thing you just said out loud.
They last a long time.
Not if you're doing it right. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. I don't know.
Clearly, I'm doing it wrong because now I'm looking for new underwear. I would hang on to like a pack of boxer shorts for like 10 years.
Oh, man. Yeah, I suppose.
You just wear them until they more resemble a small skirt than boxers. And then it's like, all right, this one's done now.
This one's done, but I got more. I've been wearing this one for like years solid.
I still got like 3 or 4 left from this package. I'm good to go. So yeah, I haven't had a ton of experience buying underwear, but still, every time I have, I've been at a complete loss of what to do. Like, well, what should I do?
Should I try them on?
What,
over my jeans?
What is the advantage of this kind of underwear? And they're like, this has breathable pocket space. And
you need a breathable pocket. You don't want to get fucking stank on your hang low. It's no good. It's no good at all. You get that fucking Fremunda cheese? kind of scent going on there? Like, is that Gouda? No, it's from under. You know. That's right. There's no coming back from that. That's where we're at right now. You better go to break. Stick on your head.
Okay. Well, we're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, there will be considerable less talk about junk.
It's like you're smuggling a loaf of garlic bread. What are you doing? Gross. Oh, God.
Fred, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. I like to go into break on a kind of note, and I feel like we've done so.
He could have went garlic knots, but no. Low.
Oh, man, I should have. Damn it.
He went to the singular loaf, which makes me question certain things.
This is how you can tell we don't write this shit. It's just freeform, though, because garlic knots was definitely the way to go. Man.
For some reason, you're listening to the Stone Age Cover podcast from Geekade.com. When we come back, we'll be talking about brawlers, because it's mania.
Mania.
Stick around.
And now, here's a quick look at some of the other original content available now from our partners and Geekade.com.
First up, Katamari Damacy is one of the best games ever made. And its soundtrack is a big part of the equation, or of that assertion, as you wrote. Why? Because like me, it's over the top, bizarre, and incredibly lovable. Chris and Matt decided there was no better way to finish off their review series than with a trip back down memory lane to give the Katamari soundtrack its proper due. Originally covered back in June 2015 by Chris solo, now he's got a partner to re-experience all the rolling goodness with. You like good music and witty banter? Don't miss Waveback episode 149. Katamari Damacy Reroll.
Coming up on that 150.
I know, that's congratulations. That's exciting.
Thanks, yeah. Next, our friends on the SNES podcast were kind enough to invite me to join them for a special episode all about one of the very best games ever made, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. What's more, I wasn't the only special guest. Greg, Joe, and myself were also joined by Ferg from the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast in our trivia episodes, and Phil, the No Swear Gamer, to discuss one of the most important ant time? Oh, and! There
ant
we go.
Time. Love ant yeah. time. It's very slow.
Yeah. One of the most important and time-tested video games ever created. How do we all feel about the adventure? Find out in the SNES podcast, episode 188, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
It's a very short episode. Gentlemen, how do we feel about this game? Good? All right, moving on.
It's great.
Finally.
What is art? I don't know, like paintings and stuff? Very good. Good night.
Very good. Good night. Transformers Deadly Paradise is a storybook for children, or at least that's what I'm told. So, what is happening? The art certainly doesn't help make anything more understandable, and in fact, it only raises more questions. There are constant references to pig robots, but none are to be found. A human that might be an enemy is only a Decepticon contractor with no ill will towards the Autobots. Humans put an Autobot to death without trial! And worst of all, Optimus accepts their judgment and shuts him down. And you will not believe your eyes and ears when a Decepticon is murdered. What dangers and beautiful birds await us on the deadly island the Autobots find themselves on? Find out in Sparkcast episode 58, Deadly Paradise Storybook.
For all this and more from us and our partners, be sure to keep your eyes on Geekade.com.
That's a wild children's book.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, we are back, and it is Mania, and I'm going to hand the reins over to Dan.
All right, so as discussed at the top of the show, it is time for Mania 2022 beat-em-ups, because like Chris and I said on the show last week, that's what we were going to be doing. No, we didn't say we were going to do fighting games like we did last year. We didn't fuck that up.
Why would we?
Not even
that?
A little bit. Why would you even say that? How dare you? Yes, you, the listener, accuse us of such tomfoolery and shenanigans. Ridiculous. For those of you unfamiliar with the concept of Mania, I hope you are familiar with the concept of March Madness, because my entire discussion relies around you being familiar with that particular college experience. We have a full bracket tournament. 64 games have entered. Chris and I will go down the list, putting the 1 versus 16, the 2 versus 15, and so on and so forth, based on either sales data or the ranker chart that I found, because I couldn't find a ton of, or not sales data, but review data on a lot of these games. For tiebreakers, my buddy Rob, as he has done these last couple of years, has so graciously decided to be like, yeah, that one. So if we come up to ties, we will go to our buddy Rob, and yeah, we're going to whittle it down from the round of 64, and we'll get down to the round of 32, then the Sweet 16, the Elite 8, the Final Four, and then the championship round, where a winner is you. You know, just like March Madness.
Cool.
Yeah, did that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
All right, and
I don't
for,
know, I'm wasted.
For the purposes of beat-em-ups, it's kind of hard to decide, right? What makes something a brawler? Again, like a lot of things on this show, it's like porn. Can't define it, but I know it when I see it. Certain games that have brawler aspects were not included. Certain games, like, I wanted to include Beautiful Joe, because it feels like a brawler, but it's not.
Yeah, I think it's more of an action platformer.
Yeah, you know, brawler. So like, and there's a thin line there sometimes, right? Is Devil May Cry a brawler? You could make the argument. Is Bayonetta a brawler? You could make the argument. Neither of them made the list, though. So
yeah, I would consider those not necessarily. I consider those 3D character action games.
But now we're just splitting hairs. So we got a lot of games to get through. Let's get here through the
Isn't
first
that what
round.
Bayonetta's about splitting hairs.
Yes, that's the joke. I wrote that down earlier. I knew we were going to talk about Bayonetta. I was like, ooh, I'm going to work in a splitting hairs joke in a minute. We are going to start. So it's broken down into four regions: the Northwest, the Northeast, the Southwest, and the Southeast. No, they don't mean anything. They just happen to be the way that I set them up. The first matchup. Are you ready, Chris?
Oh, I am ready.
Are the listeners ready? Do you think they're ready? Since they, it's not
I
a
do.
Live show, they can't respond.
I do think they're ready.
I know Ferg's ready.
Darn right he is.
I know Ferg's ready. I know Matt's ready. I know Matt's ready. We have a few Matts. No, all the Matts are ready. All right. Without further ado, the first matchup, the one seed in the Northwest region, Streets of Rage 4 versus the 16 seed in the Northwest region, Ninja Warriors. What are you thinking?
Hmm.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, I mean,
Streets of Rage 4 is sublime.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
It had...
It's so great.
I mean,
great.
It's Streets of Rage 4. It's not even a question, really, but Ninja Warriors is so freaking good.
Ninja Warriors is really good.
I just played it earlier today. I don't think I had ever actually played this game before. it was part of that crazy collection that I got that
yeah.
had Kagana
yeah.
in it. And so I booted it up today just to kind of get myself together on this list. And I was really, really impressed by it. It's really freaking good. And it was better than a lot of other, even Super Nintendo brawlers that I had played. And it was more in line with, like, say, a Kung Fu style brawler, because it doesn't have that faux 3D. There's no, you know, move around on the vertical axis. It's just left to right. But it felt really good to play. It was really clever. It was really good. It was really good.
It's Why really
is this
good.
Up against Streets of Rage 4 straight away? That's not fair.
That's the way, it's the way it fell, man.
Damn. Ninja Warriors deserves better, but no, it's Streets of Rage 4. It's not even a question. Streets of Rage 4 is... Streets of Rage 4 is honestly one of the ones to beat in this entire thing, I think.
That's kind of my feeling. But we'll kind of see how things shake out here. All right.
Ninja Warriors is freaking great, though. Like, it's absolutely great. It is such a cool game. Didn't it just get remade?
Yes. But it's kind of a weird remake, I feel. Like, they kind of futzed with the graphics and stuff, I think. I could be thinking of something completely different. I might be. I don't know. All right, Streets of Rage 4, moving on. Not really a big surprise there. I thought
Still
there might
a huge
be a,
upset.
I thought there might be a little bit more of a conversation there, but no. It's this one I'm really curious to see where you're going to land on. So the 2 seed in the Northwest region, Double Dragon Neon, versus the 15 seed, a plucky upstart, I feel, Spider-Man the video game. Now, this Spider-Man the video game is the beat-em-up where you can select Spider-Man, Namor, Black Cat, and Hawkeye.
That's a neat game.
I really like this game. A lot. A lot, a lot. I didn't love Double Dragon Neon.
Oh, I love Double Dragon Neon.
I didn't love it. I didn't dislike it.
I just loved how it just deliciously over the top it is. It might be my way forward bias, who knows, but I really liked that game. I thought it was super fun. I thought all the tapes, you know, rewinding tapes and whatnot, I just thought it was really clever. It was a very fun game to play. I vote Double Dragon Neon in this instance because the Spider-Man game's cool, but it's never done a whole lot for me personally, so...
Yeah, it's not very good. Yeah. I like it a lot. It's not very good, though, unfortunately. It's a weird collection of characters.
It definitely
is. Spider-Man and Black Cat makes sense.
Hawkeye and Namor. Like, the Hawkeye and Namor is weird. Bizarre. Like, the Spider-Man looks so... He's kind of
He doesn't have the web lines.
He doesn't have the web lines, but it's just more red and blue. His posture that bothers me. Like,
yeah,
he looks
it is
like
a weird
he's hunched
posture.
Over. It's... this is a neat game, and the way it like kind of, you know, it'll pan out to be like, you know, smaller walking
yeah,
around doing some more.
There's
basic
some really cool
stuff
that it does.
Yeah, there's some neat ideas, but not enough to beat Double Dragon Neon. I don't think. I think Neon's freaking great.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't want you to be, but I think you are. this next matchup, I don't even think is much of a conversation. To be perfectly honest, I think this is another one of the what should be considered a favorite in this tournament to come out of, if not the whole thing, the Northwest region, certainly. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the 3 seed taking on the 14 seed, Growl.
I'm unfamiliar with Growl, but I'm still going to say Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Growl is really cool. It's kind of like so... If Indiana Jones was a beat-em-up.
Okay, all right. I'm looking at a video of this one now, and this is...
You definitely know this game.
Yeah, I know this game.
I believe it was on... I believe it's on Genesis. I believe it's quite expensive for Genesis.
Yeah, no, this is a neat game. It's not
It's
like,
a cool game. Yeah. I like it. It's... You got... It's Indiana Jones, the beat-em-up.
That is what it is.
You know? Except you also have a guy who has a fucking rocket launcher who walks around like he's on the cover. I'm looking at the cover now.
What was the 34th Street or whatever? It's not that.
No. We'll get there.
We'll get there. That game is special. This game's neat, but it's no Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, it's Scott Pilgrim. All right, so the next matchup, the 4 seed, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, versus the 13 seed, a game that I did not come to until, you know, recently, the last couple of years, Sengoku.
Refreshing myself on Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Cadillacs and Dinosaurs is Capcom.
Right. This is not the Sega CD game.
No, this is the...
It's not a beat-em-up.
Right.
Okay.
Right. This
and
is...
What was the other one?
Sengoku.
Sengoku.
Okay. Sengoku, I feel like you've played before. Yeah, I think we've talked about it.
This is a Neo Geo game. Okay. Yeah, I know this one.
I tried to... That was one of the other things. I tried to keep this list... to games that were realistically playable for us, right? Not whether or not we owned them when we were kids or had played through them or whatever, but things that we had either, you know, played through in the arcade or maybe played at a friend's house or whatever. Sengoku is one of those, like, oh, this is a really cool game. Like, graphics are really cool, the characters... Mm-hmm. There's definitely a Fist of the North Star vibe that I get from it. Certainly in the way some of the characters look. You know, the main character with the yellow pants. Yeah. That dude is very very Kenshiro from Fist of the North Star. So I really like this game. I'm kind of torn though, because Cadillacs and Dinosaurs is a game that, when you look at lists and, like, you know, YouTube videos of beat-em-ups and stuff, this game gets a lot of love, but I feel it's pretty derivative of Final Fight.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I want to
like it more than I do.
This is a brand I've never gotten into. The Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. I never really got this one. They both seem quality-wise pretty similar.
Yeah,
I kind of give the nod to the Sengoku one.
All right, that's kind of what I was thinking as well.
Yeah.
All right. This next matchup, I don't even think is much of a conversation. X-Men: The Arcade Game, the 5 seed versus the 12 seed, Undercover Cops.
Yeah, I mean X-Men.
All right, we don't even have to talk about it. Undercover Cops is okay. It's cool. There was a period where you would walk into an arcade and there was seemingly a new beat-em-up every other week.
Undercover right? Cops, one thing I will say about it, it does have a nice goodness, who did this? Is this an SNK game?
Maybe.
Oh, it's an IRAM game. It's got a very, like, almost Metal Slug look to it, you know, Undercover Cops. Just the way its color palette, the way it animates, it's cool. It's just, I personally think, ultimately forgettable, because I ultimately forgot it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's looking back on it now, like, yeah, this game's pretty neat. It's got a good look, some excellent animation and stuff. But X-Men...
Yeah, I mean, had it fallen elsewhere in the bracket, it might have done a little bit better. But it's X-Men Arcade.
Same to you, Ninja Warriors.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. This is the way the cookie crumbled, as it were.
Yeah, something was going to have to go up against X-Men, and like X-Men is just too freaking good. Like, it's very simple, but it's got just enough depth to be fun, and it's got the six players.
Yeah, that's big.
It's a big
that's
plus
big.
That six player insanity.
All right, save it for the next couple of rounds, because it's going to go up against some competition where this first round I feel like we're going to get through a little quickly, and then, you know, next week and whatever is where it's really gonna get difficult. The 6 seed in the Northwest region, Double Dragon 2 against the 11 seed, Die Hard Arcade.
All right, now this is where I have some questions for you, because I saw the Double Dragon games on your list.
Yes.
Are you talking Double Dragon 2 Arcade or Double Dragon 2 NES? Because those are two very different experiences.
I mean, you know, kind of pick whatever you want, whatever you're feeling.
I think the definitive and most memorable Double Dragon 2 is the NES one.
I would agree with that. Was what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay. But it's like Double Dragon 1 has to be the arcade version.
For sure.
Double Dragon 2 and 3...
have to
especially
be the NES.
3 is going to be on your list. It's got to be the NES ones, because 3 arcade is trash.
It's garbage. Yeah.
All right. So, sorry, Double Dragon 2, and what was the other one?
Die Hard Arcade.
Die Hard Arcade, I haven't played that in forever.
Oh, that's game a dope was fun. Game.
That the game's is actually really fun. Prequel to Dynamite Cop, right? It was just a licensed...
Something like that?
I think yeah. It was... Yeah, Dynamite Deca. This was licensed as Die Hard in America. Boy, I hope this doesn't mess with the sound. I'm turning on a fan because I'm very hot all of a sudden.
No, I think you'd be
I'm right. Having a hot flash! That's what I get for wearing
tight because of that underwear you bought.
Yeah. no, oh, man, Die Hard Arcade's really good.
It's really good. It was a really good arcade machine. It was so loud, big,
it's
and
so
bright.
Different from Double Dragon 2, too.
So like, different, yeah.
This is a hard one to do because of how different these games are.
I mean, I am leaning also knowing that there are other Double Dragon games on here. I'm leaning towards Die Hard Arcade because I like Double Dragon 2, but I've never been the biggest Double Dragon guy.
Yeah, see, I'm leaning towards Double Dragon 2 myself. I think we might need the tiebreaker on this one.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, the tiebreaker, Rob went with Die Hard, and his reasoning was, it's fucking Die Hard. That was what he went
with. Yeah, but it's not fucking Die Hard.
I know.
That's the thing. It's
I don't
absolutely
think
not Die Hard.
All right, well, if it makes you feel any better, it's going up in the next round. Spoiler here, Chris. It's going up in the next round against Scott Pilgrim. So,
okay.
Doesn't really matter which one you pick here.
Doesn't really matter. That's ultimately true, yeah.
Doesn't really matter. Especially now, this one, this is the matchup I feel here in the Northwest region. The 7 seed. The original Double Dragon Arcade.
Uh-huh.
Against the 10 seed, Final Fight 2.
Ooh, Final Fight 2. See, if you were going to say Final Fight 1, that's like a freaking matchup right there.
Yeah.
Because that's like, you know, the two arcade juggernauts. Final Fight 2. Okay.
Because I, like, personal bias, I was a Final Fight guy.
Me too.
Not a Double Dragon guy. I was a Final Fight guy.
I was both of them. I was Double Dragon.
I liked Double Dragon.
I was Double Dragon until Final Fight came out. The Double Dragon trilogy on NES was like my shit. Absolutely loved it. And then I played Final Fight on Super Nintendo. And even though it was one player, it didn't bother me that much because, you know, Double Dragon 1 on NES was one player. So, okay.
So
whatever, man.
Yeah.
It didn't. And then I played the arcade version of Final Fight. I was like, oh shit. Yeah. Two players is where it's at.
It's so much better.
Double Dragon 2 on Super Nintendo. Sorry. Final Fight 2 on Super Nintendo. Hagar's got knee pads now. So he's really come to play.
you know, he's serious now. He's not just knee pads. He's got kick pads.
Yeah. He's got the whole, like, he's ready to play soccer with these dudes. He's got the spinning pile driver, right? So he's upgraded to Zangief's spinning pile driver.
So good.
Boy, this is tough. I think I got to go Final Fight 2. The original Double
Dragon
Arcade.
Happy. I didn't want to have to argue with you.
Oh, no. See, the original Double Dragon is very important, arcade game-wise. I've always felt that game was too slow for its own good.
I would agree with that entirely.
Arcade version of Double Dragon is just an incredibly sluggish game, and Final Fight 2, while ultimately is missing a little bit of that crunch of the original Final Fight, you know what I mean? There's like a... I feel like the game sounds a little bit... just a tiny bit softer, I guess. It's missing a little bit of that overall personality of the first game. I still think it easily trounces Double Dragon Arcade.
It's such a good game. It's so fun.
Yeah, it's killer.
All right. The last matchup here in the Northwest region, Captain Commando, the 8 seed against the 9 seed, Spider-Man Maximum Carnage.
Oh, Captain Commando.
Yeah.
Maximum Carnage is not great. It's no, better than Separation Anxiety.
Yeah. It's they really tried with a couple different Spider-Man beat-em-ups, as evidenced by the fact that we had two in this region. But yeah, Captain Commando is weird and great, and I love it. But we'll talk more about that next week.
I just want to throw out there that I will say this for LJN with Maximum Carnage. They put in more effort than a lot of other LJN releases, especially when I think about Spider-Man and X-Men Arcade's Revenge, which is just garbage.
No, it's just awful.
Maximum Carnage, I played it earlier today. That was one of the ones I hadn't played in a long, long time because I didn't remember liking it all that much.
Yeah.
And I was like, but people freaking love this game. Is it just because of the red cartridge? So I popped it in and I messed around with it for like maybe 15, 20 minutes. I was like, there's some stuff going on here. There's some ideas. You know, the characters are big. It's got the Green Jelly soundtrack.
Yeah. There's some good.
There is some good, but ultimately I just didn't think it was all that fun to play. And like I definitely think it's better than Separation Anxiety, which I don't really like that one at all.
No, I'm not a big fan.
Replay that one. I was like, man, whatever. That one definitely goes to. I've already forgotten which one it was, but it was whatever it was. It was better than Maximum Carnage.
Captain Commando.
Captain Commando. Right. It's got a freaking baby in a mech suit.
Yeah, that's going to
be
no
hard
argument.
To beat.
You don't argue against that. But you don't. Ooh. There are some juicy matchups next week in the Northwest region, but we'll save that for next week. We move on over to the Northeast region, where the one seed in the Northeast region, again, this is, I think, is a blowout, Castle Crashers taking on the 16th seed, 64th Street, a detective story.
Oh, that's a bummer.
The Jellico underrated masterpiece.
You want to talk about games that are derivative of Final Fight.
Oh, boy.
Holy cow.
Wow. Yeah. For real.
The sound design, the level design, the bad guys, like, it is so derivative. But at the same time, it's so insane.
I really like 64th Street.
It's like a detective and his weird friend that
his
are like...
His weird cabbie friend.
Solving some crazy kidnapped mystery. And he just goes out and he's like buff and he's got a big mustache. He's like he's like Hagar, but not. And
yeah.
He just beats the shit. What a weird game that is.
Yeah,
it's
great.
It's so interesting. But it's not Castle Crashers.
But it's not Castle Crashers,
there,
even a
there
little
is
bit.
At no instance in that game, as weird as it is, where a deer gets so frightened that it shits itself and rockets off the side of the screen with the force of the amount of shit that is coming out of its butthole.
Nope. And we've
that
all been there.
In Castle Crashers. So
We've all been there.
Yeah, no, it's got to be Castle Crashers.
I think is an underrated beat 'em up.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
it was
in the pantheon of beat 'em ups.
Came out, but it almost got a bit forgotten. Its re-release on modern consoles is wonderful. It's nice to have that.
It is
readily available. And 64th Street is not readily available, as far as
no.
I know.
Very difficult. I don't think it ever got ported home. I think you have to play it. You have to MAME it. I believe.
Which is how I played it. To all of our listeners who have never heard of this game, please play it.
Please
do.
Freaking
crazy. I'm not going to say it's great. No, I'm not going to say it's good. It's great. I can't say it's good because it's not a good game. But
it is great. All right. Next matchup, the 2 seed River City Girls versus the 15 seed, the Combat Tribes.
I have not played either of these. I will have to defer to you on this one. I'm going to say my gut says River City Girls because that game's supposed to be very good.
100%. 100%. Not even close.
Hundo P, as the girls say.
Hundo P.
As the River City Girls say. I love the art direction in this game.
I do too. It's really good.
It's just a very cool looking game.
It's
I should
very
absolutely
good game.
Be playing this. I don't
you
know
really
what's wrong
should.
With me.
You really, really should. All right. Next up, we've got the 3 seed Dragon's Crown versus the 14 seed Knights of Valor.
Dragon's Crown. Which one is this? Oh, these names. These names all blend together in my head. Okay. This was. Oh, is this done by the people who did Odin Sphere? Is that what I'm looking at? Okay.
Yep.
All right. I haven't played this. I hear it is quite good. What's the other one?
Knights of Valor.
What the I seriously can't keep these names straight.
I know there's a lot of them that kind of blend together.
Just like Knights of the Round and Knights of Valor and King of Dragons and Dragon of Dragons and Trogdor the Burninator and
Knights of Valor is very, very cool. It is a game that that tackles Chinese mythology.
Is this SNK? I want to say this is SNK.
You know, the Legend of the Monkey King kind of stuff. Like, there's some very, very cool stuff in here. Both of these games have been remade, remastered, if you will, and released recently. You know, digitally for... I know they're both available on PlayStation 4. I believe Knights of Valor was available on Dreamcast, maybe PlayStation.
This is a whole damn series, really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find information on like where it came from.
They're good though. They're both very, very solid. I'm leaning Dragon's Crown.
This Knights of Valor game is looking right up my alley, but Dragon's Crown does look pretty darn good too.
It's pretty great. I've spent more time with Dragon's Crown. There's a lot more. Dragon's Crown is one of the deeper beat 'em ups. You know, it's not just, you know, walk to the right and beat shit. There's stats, there's magic, there's stuff going on.
Really, from 1999? That doesn't seem right.
Which one? Knights of Valor?
Knights of Valor.
Originally, and then there was a remake.
Oh my goodness, this is that late?
Yeah.
And this looks like it's older than that.
They were going for a thing. You were going for a style.
It was done by International Game System Company. What the heck? What a strange thing. I'm not overly familiar with this. Like, my gut wants to say Knights of Valor, because it just looks like fun, but that other game has a pretty distinct style. I'm not going to fight you on it if you have strong feelings either way.
I don't, so I'm going to go with Knights of Valor.
Okay, Knights of Valor it is.
That, I think, for people who love Dragon's Crown, that would be just sacrilege, but... What are you going to do? It's all right. It's our list. Make your own podcast.
It's our party.
The fourth seed in the Northeast region. The original Golden Axe versus the 13 seed, one that I was relatively unfamiliar with, Two Crude Dudes.
Two Crude Dudes. Yeah. Goodness, I haven't thought about that game in forever. I'm going to hit up some sacrilege right here and say that I've never been overly fond of the original Golden Axe.
I know that you're not.
It's never done a whole lot for me. That said, Two Crude Dudes.
Two Crude Dudes is kind of like it's somewhat derivative of Bad Dudes. Am I correct?
Yeah, I was
going
to say, this game functions on the Bad Dudes school of beat-em-ups, which is like... This game's got
beat-em-up
personality.
It's beat-em-up adjacent, but I needed to fill out the list.
Two Crude Dudes is neat, because it's got some fun personality, and if I remember correctly, it's been a long time. This game is fairly fun to play. And what's it up against again?
Golden Axe.
Oh, Golden Axe.
It just can't go over Golden Axe.
It just can't.
It just can't.
Golden Axe is, at its core, a pretty cool game. And I think
it's not Golden Axe. This Golden Axe is not going to make it that far into the tournament, I don't believe. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's Golden Axe is a classic for a reason. It's got the ties to Altered Beast, the little monster things. You can ride monsters and stuff like that,
which is cool.
It is indeed cool. There's good stuff in Golden Axe. I don't know. This game's just never resonated with me.
That's fair. All right. Well, I am interested to see where you land on this next one. The 5 seed, Dungeons and Dragons: Shadows Over Mysteria. The 5 seed against the 12 seed, Renegade.
Ooh, that's rough. Shadows of Mysteria. This game's cool, man.
It is cool. Sorry, Mystaria. It's Mysteria. It is Mystara. Sorry. I wrote Mysteria like an asshole. Mystara. Let me correct that on my bracket here.
Renegade's such an important game. You know, that's basically where River City and Double Dragon kind of spawned from.
Yeah. I fucking love Renegade.
I've never played the arcade version of Renegade. I've played the NES version, which is fine. This D&D game, though, was so freaking cool. This D&D game looks so good, it feels good to play. Like, it does that thing that a good beat-em-up does, where the hits
feel good.
Exactly. They animate, and like the whole like screen flash, the way things slow down to connect the hits, it sounds tactile. This game feels really good to play. And it's got all those super cool Dungeons & Dragons monster designs and stuff. Like, it's got some killer bosses. Like, I'm looking at the playthrough right now. He's fighting the Red Dragon. It's awesome.
It's gotta be D&D.
Yeah, I gotta go D&D. I love this game. this game. God, I haven't played this in so long. This was such a cool game. For the time. When did this come out?
That I don't know. I didn't keep a ton of information up on the list because it's really hard to do a bracket in these Google spreadsheets.
96. Man, this game animates and looks so good for a 96 game.
It does.
Capcom, man.
Yeah. They know what they're doing.
They knew what they were doing. Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah.
Speaking of a game that knows what it's doing, the 6 seed, Knights of the Round, against the 11 seed, Vendetta.
Let me refresh myself on Vendetta. Vendetta Arcade. Which one is this? Why is Vendetta special?
I don't really have a good answer to that. I just liked it.
Because I'm looking at it, and this just looks like a beat-em-up.
It is. It's a Konami beat-em-up. Sounds good, looks good, animates well. Different characters were pretty cool. Yeah.
Relatively nondescript. And it's up against Knights of the Round.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't even a competition.
Was there an arcade? There was an arcade version of Knights of the Round.
Yeah.
I've only ever played the Super Nintendo one. But the Super Nintendo one's great.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Yeah,
this is clearly Knights of the Round.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
This is clearly Knights of the Round.
Yeah, and this next looks great.
This next one is going to break my heart. It breaks my heart, but I don't even think it's much of a conversation. The 70 seed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Turtles in Time against the 10 seed. See, I originally had Hyperstone Heist, but you talked me out of it. And the reason that I originally had Hyperstone Heist is because I thought the 10 seed Splatterhouse might have a chance against Hyperstone Heist. It's Turtles in Time. It's not even close. I adore Splatterhouse. We know how I feel about Splatterhouse, but if we are talking about beat-em-ups, which we are, that has been our mission. We have been charged by the gods to talk about beat-em-ups. It's Turtles in Time. And that leads to some interesting matchups for next week. All right, let's finish out the Northeast region with another D&D game, Tower of Doom, taking on Golden Axe 3. Now, did you enjoy the Golden Axe games as they progressed?
I didn't play them.
You're just not into the series?
I can honestly say I never tried any of the Golden Axe sequels, and I'm unfamiliar with Tower of Doom. Oh, this game looks pretty cool, too. I don't think I've played this one. I know I played the other D&D game. Oh, wow. Was this one before or after that one? What's the date on this?
This one was...
What did I say the other one was?
This you said 96. This was 93.
This was the earlier one. Well, maybe this is the one I played. Maybe this is the one I played. Oh, I think I had myself backwards. that other D&D game was cool as hell, but this one's... No, I think I played that other one. I'm looking at the levels in this one, and I'm like, this is cool. I'm not remembering it the way that I'm remembering the other one. Still, this is pretty badass.
This is great. These are both. I enjoy Golden Axe 3. I like the Golden Axe games more than you do. I like that this one, the main character, the main knight guy, is very very Rastan-esque in the way that he holds his sword.
You can be a centaur in this game?
Yeah, this one's pretty dope. There's some pretty dope shit pretty cool. In both of these games. Yeah, this one's kind of a toss-up for me.
Yeah, this is kind of tough.
This one's kind of a toss-up.
Can the centaur ride a scorpion is what I want to know. Or is it just that this lady turned into a centaur?
That I am unsure of.
Because I'm looking at this video, and I feel like this lady who is currently a centaur is the same character that's in the next level.
Yeah, there is a were-panther.
Oh my goodness, that is what it is. She turned into a centaur. Now she's riding an ant. Now she's riding a scorpion. Oh man, this is tough.
All right, it's got to be Golden Axe 3 then. But it's not going
to
win again.
This game is so good, but yeah, I'll give it to Golden Axe.
We got to move Golden Axe at least once. All right,
that's fair.
Going to the Southeast region, I think we are going to have our first upset, because I will fight to the death for this one. The one seed, the Warriors. All right, a remake of a 90s, or not a remake, but a video game version of a fucking late 70s, early 80s movie.
That's the PS2 game, right?
That is, yeah, PS2, Xbox, whatever. Taking on Ninja Baseball Batman, the 16 seed in the Southeast region. Yeah, like, I mean, if you say the Warriors, I'm going to fight you.
I mean, physically. Adam Shoup would say the Warriors, but I wouldn't.
I know
agree
we would.
Him.
No, I would disagree with him entirely. I love that movie. I like that game. But I'm writing Ninja Baseball Batman, and we're moving on.
I'm not a fan of the Warriors. I don't even know if I've seen all of the movie or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't...
That's surprising. I know it's not your thing, but that's just one of those things that, like, you see at some point.
Apparently, there's a lot of that stuff that I just didn't. I've never been interested in seeing it. And when
yeah, that's
the game
fair.
Came out, I wasn't interested in the game either. I was like, all right, this looks neat. I like beat 'em ups, but I'm not interested in the source material, so I'm not going with the game. But Ninja Baseball Batman is freaking Ninja Baseball. The game's insane.
It's so insane.
Nothing that insane and good is going to get taken down by... much. So, yeah. Ninja Baseball Batman, for sure.
All right. Our 2 seed, Battletoads and Double Dragon, taking on the 15 seed, Burning Fight, the Neo Geo game. The characters are really big. Or they just felt really big. I don't know.
Burning Fight. I refresh my memory on this one.
Got Duke, Fight. Ryu, and Billy in Burning Fight.
Wow. You got a Ryu and a Billy, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. This isn't striking me as overly special, though.
No.
Battletoads and Double Dragon has its issues, for sure.
Sure.
And plenty of them. But it's such a neat crossover game, even though it does ultimately just play like Battletoads more than it plays like Double Dragon. It's still pretty fun. And the Super Nintendo one's got a ridiculous soundtrack, too.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. I go Battletoads Double Dragon in this one.
All right. This one may be an interesting conversation. I don't think it is, though. The 3 seed Guardian Heroes taking on the 14 seed Bucky O'Hare.
Arts. My gut says Guardian Heroes off the bat.
Without question.
Bucky O'Hare is such an interesting thing, though. I hadn't played the arcade Bucky O'Hare before today. It's I had seen videos of it, and I was like, all right, well, let's play it and be sure, because I talked about this a little bit yesterday when we're going over the list, like, does Bucky O'Hare even really count as a brawler? Because isn't it a shooter, more or less? But it's like, actually playing it, and like, I looked at it in the video, I was like, yeah, I can see how this fits in the brawler scheme, like, because it moves like one, you know? You're moving around your character like that, but you're rarely doing hand-to-hand combat. You're blasting things, which is a really interesting idea, and it was Konami doing it, so it looks real good, too, but...
I mean, but it's Guardian Heroes.
Yeah, but it's freaking Guardian Heroes. That game's awesome.
I mean, like, it's Guardian Heroes, man.
Yeah,
like,
that game's awesome.
That game is so, so good. It's so good.
How was Advanced Guardian Heroes? I know I tried that. Now I can't
remember. I like it. I have it.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Gunstar Superheroes and Advanced Guardian Heroes, like, two games that are just... How do you exist? That's wild.
Yeah. Got them both. I like them.
Yeah, they're both... Yeah, I remember this. Yeah, they're both pretty solid. But the original Guardian Heroes is like... I feel like it's on another level. That game looks amazing.
It looks amazing. It plays amazing. It's treasure at their wild and craziest.
Yeah, it's such a Saturn game, you know? Sorry, I'm getting tired, but yeah, Guardian Heroes freaking rules, man.
All right, well let's go ahead and try and speed up a little bit here. We're going a little long in the tooth.
Us going long? The heck you said?
Never. The 4-seed Golden Axe, the Revenge of Death Adder, versus the 13-seed Vigilante.
Vigilante, wait a sec.
I fall firmly in the Vigilante camp on this one.
Which one?
Revenge of Death Adder is awesome. It definitely has a selectable centaur from the beginning. She's super fun, but playing through Vigilante, both in the arcade and on the TurboGrafx-16, was my shit.
What is this related to? This is related to something else. Oh, that's going to bother me. Vigilante is part of some other series, I think. Was this the unofficial sequel to Kung Fu?
I believe so. The characters look, kind of feel the same.
This is going to drive me nuts. Kung Fu Master. Yeah, I think Vigilante's the pseudo follow-up.
Yeah. Yep, it is considered the spiritual sequel to Irem's earlier Kung Fu Master.
Right, because this the Japanese game for name for Vigilante was Spartan X. So it was Spartan X 2.
Yeah.
Something sure. Like that. Yeah, okay. okay, yeah, I'll defer to you on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I like Revenge of Death Adder, but I really like Vigilante. I think it's a really good game.
Cool.
All right, so that is that's an upseat, the 13 seed. Moving on, I cannot apparently spell Vigilante. Vigilante is what I wrote. All right, so that was the 4 and the 13. So now we are moving on to the 5 and the 12. This isn't even a contest, honestly. Aliens versus Predator, the arcade game, taking on Fighting Force.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Fighting Force. It was neat. But we're going to talk a lot more about that Aliens versus Predator game at another time. This one I think will be interesting, depending on where you kind of fall on this one. The 6-seed, The Punisher, taking on the 11-seed, Warriors of Fate. How much do you know about the Warriors of Fate video game?
Okay, all right.
Or I suppose the Warriors of Fate just in general.
This is not as fun as Warriors of Fate.
No, certainly not. This is another Capcom game. I believe this is coming out with that new beat 'em up collection.
I believe you are correct. Yeah, this is this is a good one. I think I've played this on MAME before. I'm definitely familiar with it. And what was it up against again? The Punisher?
Yeah, The Punisher.
That's the arcade Punisher game, right?
Yes. Punisher, Nick Fury.
Boy, I haven't played that in a long time.
Ooh, it is on your cabinet, I believe.
It is. Punisher. Hmm. Oh, that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, my heart lies with the Punisher. Yeah, I love the way this game looks. It's old school comic book Punisher with the big white boots.
Yeah, like he's in definitely a superhero outfit. I just love the animations in this one are so good with him like throwing people around. He's so angry the whole game. Yeah. Like,
and you get to select Nick Fury too. Like, that's dope.
He's facing off against freaking Bonebreaker right now. Yeah, it's Punisher. It's Punisher. Yeah.
This Punisher game is really, really cool. Never got put anywhere.
This did just recently get put on in one of those Arcade 1-Up cabinets, actually.
Did it? Oh,
yeah. See? This made it into one of the Arcade 1-Up cabinets.
What do I know? All right. I know we are moving on to the 7 seed, Streets of Rage 3, taking on the 10 seed in the Southeast region, Armored Warriors.
Ooh. Armored Warriors. Which one is this?
I'm going to show my hand. I'm leaning Armored Warriors.
I mean, I would have to really not like Armored Warriors for it to not be Streets of Rage 3, because I don't like Streets of Rage 3 very much.
I'm not. I like it more than you do, but it's not Streets of Rage 2 or 4.
No, not by a lot. Or 1. I love Streets of Rage 1.
Yeah. Armored Warriors is...
Armored Warriors. This is the freaking mech one. Yeah, I played this earlier. The mech beat 'em up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, this game rules.
Yeah, Armored Warriors is fucking great.
Armored Warriors is great. This game is awesome. How are there not more like mech beat-em-ups like this?
I don't know. This is a great game, though.
Yeah, this is a really cool game. God, there's so many. Why is it like the names are all bleeding together for the ones that I'm not overly familiar with?
Because they're all similar names.
Yeah, they're all very similar names. No, this game rules. This is an absolute win. Far as I'm concerned, Streets of Rage 3's music alone makes me want to barf.
All right. Well, possibly the most difficult matchup here in the Southeast region could go either way, Chris, depending on whether they take their fouls and if they make their free throws or not. See, we're still going with the March Madness thing. The 8 seed, Final Fight 3, taking on the 9 seed, King of Dragons.
Oh, my God. Goodness, Capcom on Capcom action. King of Dragons. All right, I want to look at the arcade version. I played the Super Nintendo version earlier today. King of Dragons versus what again?
Versus
Final Fight 3. I almost got like fireballs and stuff, and you can do Street Fighter moves in that game. It's got some killer slowdown, which does hurt it a bit. My gut wants to say Final Fight 3. I'm such a
over Final King Fight of Dragons
nut. I like King of Dragons, I do, but King of Dragons,
you're going with Hagar's ponytail and the shorty shorts.
Oh, well, I mean,
the bike shorts.
Is that a question? Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one, I think there could be a deeper discussion there, but I'm not going to fight you on Final Fight 3.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about Final Fight 3.
I love both of these games. There's no losers.
Definitely a fan of both of these. My gripe with Final Fight 3 is the slowdown, but I do like that it tried to incorporate like more Street Fighter elements in this one. It
has
the way the super moves work. We have to perform them like Street Fighter games, and you know it's the characters are nice and big. It's really, this is a nice looking game. I feel like it lost its way in the music department considerably, but I like the big beefy characters more than the tiny characters in was it King of Dragons or the Subgames? Yeah, I think overall it's a close one. I do like both of these games.
King of Dragons has some really cool, like, selectable classes and whatnot that you can play as, but yeah. I would
also not fight too hard if anyone, felt either way, but my vote goes to Final Fight 3, possibly because I have more experience with it than King of Dragons, but
That's all right. It sets up another interesting matchup for next week. All right, let's move over to the final region, the Southwest region. I think we have some blowouts here in this one, but maybe a few interesting conversations. The one seed, I think the newest game that is here on this list is a beat-em-up called Fight and Rage. Just came out within the last couple of years. Taking on an unheralded 16 seed in Capcom's Battle Circuit.
Battle Circuit. I'm somewhat familiar with Fight and Rage. I haven't played it, but I've watched some videos on it. It looks super good.
Battle Circuit, you can play as a green alien monster, or a character that rides a pink ostrich called Pink Ostrich. There's a couple like superhero looking guys. Battle Circuit is possibly the weirdest game on here, and I fucking love it to pieces.
This was in the Capcom, what the heck was that one called, on 360 that had Final Fight in it.
Yeah, it was in one of those. It's on the arcade cabinet.
What the heck was that collection called?
I don't know.
Oh, that's going to drive me crazy because I have it.
Double Impact? Was that the Double
Final
Impact
Fight
one?
Yeah, because it was this. Was it just these two games? It was Final Fight and this?
I don't remember.
I don't know. Either way, I've played this one. Sorry, what's it up against again?
It is Battle Circuit and Fight and Rage.
It's difficult for me to say because I haven't played Fight and Rage, and that does look really cool, but Battle Circuit is, I'm with you on that one, just being so
fucking weird and good.
Weird and fun. I had a blast playing through this one. I had never even heard of it before it came out on that Xbox 360 collection thing.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed this one, so I go with Battle Circuit.
All right. So, for this one, let me know how you feel about this. The Final Fight 1 Game Boy Advance version versus
Final Fight 1, okay.
The 2 seed, Final Fight 1 GBA, against the 15 seed Konami's Violent Storm.
I own Final Fight 1 and have played the ever-loving garbage out of it. I have not played Violent Storm.
Violent Storm is another weird
game. Oh, my God. Characters are enormous in this.
Yeah, they're gigantic. Konami did not nail beat-em-ups the way that they nailed other genres. Until they got to Ninja Turtles.
Once they got the Ninja Turtles, X-Men, and...
Yeah,
Simpsons.
Their Final Fight derivatives were not great. This one's pretty good. I like this.
This is neat. What was the other one again?
Final Fight 1 on the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, Final Fight 1. Oh, I mean, Final Fight 1 is super cool. I love the original Final Fight. Did Final Fight 1 have multiplayer in it? And that's what I'm trying to remember. Did this have, like, Link Cable multiplayer availability? You know what? Hold on 1 second. I'll go grab it and check. Hold, please.
Hold, please.
Okay, yeah, Final Fight 1 says on the back of the box, let's see, multiplayer. Yeah, this has a multiplayer. Team up with a friend using the link cable.
Yep, this game's great.
I played through this single player, and it was freaking awesome, because it's a great port of Final Fight to begin with, but then the fact that you can unlock the Street Fighter Alpha sprites.
Yep.
To play through as like prison Cody and Guy in this weird story of them like reliving their memories or something, and Cody being like, "Oh wait, I used to be a good guy and stuff."
It's good stuff, man.
It really
I like this one a lot.
Yeah, this is, besides the compressed audio, I love this version of Final Fight. I think this was such a good package.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite version to play besides the original arcade one, just because of screen orientation and limitations of the Game Boy Advance are obviously an issue. But still, this is such a great, great version of this game. Final Fight 1 gets my vote.
All right. The 3 seed, Streets of Rage 2, taking on the 14 seed, Double Dragon 3.
Streets of Rage 2.
Yeah.
I personally like Double Dragon 3 more than Streets of Rage 2, personally, just because that's what I grew up with. I didn't grow up with Streets of Rage 2. I played it properly for the first time fairly recently.
But dear God, is that game good?
Yeah, it's great. That's a really good game. And Double Dragon 3, I think, has a lot of really good stuff in it. But like other, similar to Double Dragon 2 for NES and 1 to an extent, it gets bogged down by trying to throw some platforming stuff in there.
Yeah.
Which causes some issues. But Double Dragon 3 does so much cool stuff with, it's got a stupid story. Unlocking the boss characters, like you beat the crap out of Chin Tai because he's like, you beat the beat up Chin because he tried to beat you up because you beat up his brother in the first Double Dragon. And then like he joins you and he's like this weird chubby Chinese guy who fights with a claw. It's like, he's so cool. He's got the weird headbutt move and his double kick. And Ranzu, the ninja, was really awesome. Like, yeah, Double Dragon 3 is great, but
Streets of Rage 2 is transformative as far as like what it did.
But, Nothing but respect for Double Dragon 3, but it's got to be Streets of Rage 2.
This one, perhaps, unfortunately, because I do like the 13 seed quite a bit here, but this matchup, the 4 seed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade against the 13 seed The Death and Return of Superman.
Oh, yeah. Death and Return of Superman is not bad.
No, I really like it. It's probably the best Superman game that they've ever made.
The problem with that one is that the enemies are so repetitive.
Like, so repetitive.
You go through the first level of the game alone. Like, I played it earlier today.
Yeah.
I haven't played this in ages. I remember it being pretty good. And I'm playing it, and the whole first level, you're fighting the same, like, 2 dudes over and over again. There's so little variety in the enemies. But it is a pretty good game, but it's... not beating Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not even close. Not even close. All right. This next one I think is similar to that. Maybe a bit more of a conversation, but not by much. The Simpsons arcade game, the 5 seed against the 12 seed Night Slashers.
Simpsons arcade.
Yeah. I like Night Slashers. It's cool. It's definitely, it's kind of like Battle Circuit in that there were very few beat 'em ups that kind of had a horror slant to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Simpsons Arcade is just like,
again. Yeah, for real. I mean, it was Konami when they hit their stride. But yeah, Night Slashers is cool. They all kind of horror aspect to it and whatnot. Some weird cyborg dude with a crazy mullet. It's an interesting experience for sure. I haven't played it in a while, but Simpsons is, that's the kind of game I go back to over and over again. And Simpsons had the cool like team up mechanics.
The team up moves, yeah.
Yeah. The Simpsons wasn't just cool because it was a Simpsons game, and it's weird that like Konami did a Simpsons game with only like kind of a knowledge of what these characters were.
Yeah. It was so, definitely like, more like a comic influence, like the Matt Groening comic strip.
Yeah, then like just the whole, like, Maggie with the diamond and fighting the giant wrestler. Like, even just the idea of Marge out in the streets beating up people with a vacuum cleaner is... It's such a strange
game. It's pretty wild. But it's so memorable. It's so good, though.
Yeah, it's really so good.
All right, the 6th seed, the original Streets of Rage, taking on the 11th seed, Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
Streets of Rage, no question.
Yeah.
Bad Dudes is funny, but it is not a good game.
No, it's real bad. The arcade version's better.
But not by much.
Not by much.
I'm not even sure I'd agree with that, because like it's better in some ways, but worse in others, because it's more quarter munch cheap death than the NES version. Like, they're both crap. They're both great. You know, they're just wonderful, but they are not actually fun to play.
No, they're really not.
I'm glad they exist. Man, we played through, me and my friend Brian played through Bad Dudes at Yestercades like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're like, it was on free play because that's the way Yestercades worked. We're like, oh my God, this game
that's
is
the
so,
only way to get through Bad
when
Dudes.
Will this end? It's oh yeah. We gotta beat this because we want to see the ending screen, but like, man, it was just brutal getting through that game because it's so yeah. not
it's a
fun.
Slog.
Yeah, it's garbage.
And
the original
of Rage
Streets
is not.
Of Rage is great. I really liked the original Streets of Rage.
All right. Well, setting us up, we have two matchups left. The 7 seed, Golden Axe 2, against the 10 seed, a game that I quite like, Captain America and the Avengers.
Yeah, I'll go with Captain America on this one. Yeah, I don't like it as much as a lot of people do. I always felt like the graphics were really weird on this one. Like,
they're so small.
Yeah, they're really small and not super detailed, but
yeah.
It's still fun, and it's so weird. It's like, yeah, it's Vision and stuff. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
No, final matchup, Chris. The 8 seed, River City Ransom, against the 9 seed, Alien Storm.
Ooh. I vote River City Ransom because nobody in Alien Storm yells barf. But
that's fair.
Now, River City Ransom, that game's never clicked with me the way it has clicked with most other people. Like, I'll say that off the bat, but at the same time, I have a tremendous amount of respect for what that game does, and I'm sure if I could properly put the time into it, it would click with me. Just throwing in the RPG elements and stuff.
And yeah, there's some really, really cool stuff in there. I like
such
it.
Great
I like it a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
I think Alien Storm
is cool. Alien Storm's cool. Yeah. Genesis, you know, console beat 'em up and whatever. It's got some interesting character designs and whatnot, but I think you got to go River City Ransom there.
I agree. Yeah.
All right. Well, that is the round of 64 done. There are some really, really interesting matchups moving forward. So we will jump into that next week, but it is getting late. So, Dean, do the thing.
Show notes.
Done and done. There's a callback just for you, the listener.
Just for you guys. That is our show. Join us next time when Dan and I will be continuing or concluding. Concluding or
what? Yeah, what why not? We'll see how it goes. It depends on how much of a conversation there has to be.
Valid point. Hopefully concluding so we don't throw off the rest of our schedule, but also maybe just continuing because these conversations are fun. The Mania Brawler Fest. So yeah, look forward to that because you can't look back to it unless you have a time machine or you're listening to this in the future.
Which is awesome.
They announced the new Doctor too.
I saw that.
Yeah.
There's another Scott. Yeah. Hate Scottish. I'm just
kidding. We're on most social media platforms, and if you want to get in touch with us to send your Scottish hate mail or whatever, we aren't very difficult to find. All it takes
is... Do you also hate Scottish people?
Do you hate Dan for hating Scottish people? Do you think Dan is secretly Scottish? All it takes is a quick look at our show notes, and you'll see it's links to our Scottish social media accounts, as well as all manner of... It's actually Dan O'Ryan. he's Irish. As well as all manner of other fun stuff, like a link to our namesake.
Sitting here in my fucking tartan right now.
The Geekade Patreon helps to keep the show running week after week, and more useful links than you can shake a joystick at. This show's theme song, Squared Roots, was written by Banjo Guy Ollie. You can learn all about his wonderful music and more by following a link to his YouTube channel, also in the show notes. And finally, as always, we'd like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks, and we'd like to thank all you folks for listening in the first place. That's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep walking right.
Well done. We'll